Welcome to VOA's International Edition. I'm Susan Yalke in Washington. Coming up, we hear about the bloodiest day in Afghanistan since the beginning of Ramadan. The UN High Commissioner for Refugees paints a grim picture of those fleeing conflict. A big exciting win for sports and a U.S. city. And we'll test a new song that will kill him with kindness.
Selena Gomez, who is very, very popular, very beautiful, was just signed to be the new celebrity face of Louis Vuitton.
It's all on today's International Edition. Separate bomb explosions in Afghanistan today killed at least 24 people and wounded around 40 others. Reporter Ayaz Ghul is watching the situation from our South Asia Bureau in Islamabad. Welcome to the show, Ayaz.
My pleasure.
The first was the deadliest attack. It occurred in Kabul. Could you tell us what happened there?
Yeah, today was, the bloodiest day in Afghanistan since the beginning of the holy month of Ramadan. It started with a massive suicide bombing in Kabul this morning. It targeted a minibus that was carrying Nepalese nationals. They were security guards for the Canadian embassy in the Afghan capital. And this suicide bomber who was on foot basically set off explosives as soon as the bus stopped at a busy signal in the city. As a result, instantly the Afghan officials confirmed at least 14 people on board the bus were killed while 9 were wounded. So it was quite a devastating attack in terms of the casualties that nationals from Nepal had suffered in Afghanistan. And then a couple of hours later, there was another roadside bomb in the city that targeted a provincial legislator, although he was slightly wounded, but his two security guards are described as in critical condition. And while the authorities were still trying to cope up with these two blasts, there was a massive attack in a marketplace in northeastern Badakhshan province, which is close to the Central Asian Republics. And that bombing basically killed almost all the civilians. At least 10 people were killed and more than 30 were wounded. And just let me tell you that for the two attacks in Kabul, the Taliban insurgent group has claimed responsibility, but it has distanced itself from the attack in Badakhshan.
What has the government's response been?
Well, obviously, the government has been struggling to tackle the resilient Taliban insurgency in recent months. It has been facing massive attacks on the countryside, but there has been a lull as far as attacks are concerned in Kabul in recent weeks. So today was a significant day in a sense that after this long pause, the capital city has seen these massive attacks. But as we know that even in its recent report submitted to the Congress, the Pentagon also noted that the Taliban are strengthening by the day and their attacks are becoming more and more deadliest. And that is why in this report they have asked for continued assistance for the Afghan National Security Forces. So, yeah, the government and the National Security Forces in Afghanistan have been really struggling to contain the Taliban insurgency. But as we know that now, President Obama has recently revised the mission, and there's going to be more help for the Afghan security forces from the American forces in Afghanistan. But in terms of dealing with the Taliban insurgency on their own, yes, surely Afghan security forces have been really struggling.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us today, Ayaz, from Islamabad.
Thank you.
Time for a look at what's going on the web today. And joining me is social media reporter Andrew Palchevsky. And we also have Sonny Young, our special sports guy, who's going to be talking to you in a few minutes about this big game we had last night.
But sporty greetings.
Thank you, Sonny. But we're going to start off with something kind of serious, and that's the Orlando shooting that you will remember recently. So many people were killed in a nightclub, and it's been trending again on the web. And Andrew, what do you have for us?
Well, the police have just released the 911 transcript that the shooter made from the phone call that he made to 911 while the shooting was going on, saying that he was declaring his allegiance to ISIS and to these terror groups. A lot of people on social media seizing on these remarks and saying, well, authorities said that he wasn't really affiliated with these groups, but in this call he's making these claims. So there's a lot of questions about that, and it's just very chilling. A lot of what he says that he has an explosive vest, which later proved out not to be true. And he says at one point that more attacks like these will be coming in the next few days. So really chilling words, a lot of people sharing those and saying what it must have been like to be that 911 operator as he received that call must have been very disturbing.
They said his voice was very calm when he was talking to the police, but they don't want to release the actual audio right now because they think it would be very disturbing to the families and other people who went through this.
Yeah, absolutely. We're just getting the text transcripts over social media, but a lot of people sharing those words and lines from his phone call.
Meanwhile, it's International Refugee Day.
It is. We're going to actually be hearing about this story in a little bit. So hashtag World Refugee Day and hashtag WRD2016 are both trending, and we're seeing a lot of famous names taking to social media to share their words of support for refugees around the world. Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, we saw the White House official Twitter account tweeting out and saying protecting and aiding refugees is part of what we are as a nation, and putting a link up to a refugee aid organization that the government has. And then also we're learning about some of the refugees' plights, the specific plights. National Geographic had some photos of refugees around the world. That's how they're choosing to remember this day. And the Refugee Olympic Team, which Sonny, I'm sure, knows well about. We're going to have an Olympic team that's comprised of refugees from around the world who don't have a state. So they're going to be competing in the Olympics in Rio in the next few weeks.
Yeah, 10 members on that team. And if I get my score right, 5 of the refugee athletes are from South Sudan. There are a couple from the Democratic Republic of Congo and one from Syria. And they're going to be one of the great stories, I think, at the Rio Olympics in August.
Absolutely. It's one of the positive things that's coming out of World Refugee Day, in addition to directing attention. It's people saying, well, these refugees, even though they're displaced, they're still competing.
Okay, guys, I want you to stay with me, Sonny and Andrew. I've got a break right now to give some headlines. We'll be right back. In the news, separate bomb explosions in Afghanistan kill at least 24 people. World Refugee Day marked as a record 65 million people are displaced. Iranian state TV claims officials busted a massive terror plot. FBI releases chilling transcripts of Orlando killer calls to police. Republican presidential hopeful Donald Trump releases his controversial campaign manager. News, feature reports, and more are at voanews.com. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
Astronomers say they have spotted some of the oldest oxygen in the universe. Using the European Southern Observatory's AMA array of radio telescopes, the scientists say they've picked up a strong signal that indicates oxygen in a galaxy about 13 billion light years away. Now, this means that the oxygen formed no later than some 700 million years after the Big Bang, the theoretical beginning of our universe. The scientists found the ancient oxygen in a distant galaxy in the constellation Cetus. They say their findings provide new insight into the early universe and how its earliest stars were formed. Keep in mind that immediately after the Big Bang, the only elements in the universe were hydrogen, helium, and lithium. Elements any heavier than those, including oxygen, didn't appear until after stars had formed. That's today's Science in a Minute. I'm Rick Pantaleo.
Today is World Refugee Day. In his global trends report marking the occasion, the UN High Commissioner for Refugees says the refugee crisis only worsened in 2015. It says more than 65 million people were forcibly displaced. That's an increase of nearly 6 million from 2014. UN Refugee Chief Filippo Grandi said one of every 113 people on Earth is now either internally displaced or a refugee.
Unfortunately, the number in the last year has gone up by 10%. We're now at 65 million people. Two-thirds are internally displaced people, the most difficult to reach. One-third are refugees. 90% are in middle-income countries or in poor countries. 50% of the refugees are children. So these are each one of these is a very worrying piece of information that we need to address.
Grandi says what the refugees and migrants crossing the Mediterranean to Europe are saying is that if you don't solve problems such as conflicts in the Middle East, Africa, and South Asia, Those problems will come to you. He says it is a call for action. The UNHCR said of that record number of refugees, about one-third have fled conflicts in Syria, Afghanistan, South Sudan, and Burundi. The Norwegian Refugee Council says finding political solutions to the world's conflicts is a key to resolving the growing population of refugees. Council senior advisor Paul Nessen in Oslo tells VOA's Victor Beatty one of those conflicts is the 5-year Syrian civil war, which has displaced nearly 12 million people.
Syria constitutes the largest group, and the main reason why the number has increased so dramatically in the last few years since the war in Syria started.
People not only think of Syria, but they also think of the tens of thousands who are fleeing desperate situations in the Middle East, North Africa, and even South Asia, and migrating to Europe.
You can say that the global refugee movement reached Europe last year, in that we have had quite few in Europe since our own recent wars in the, or around wars in the 90s and the former Yugoslavia. But last year, so many groups took to Europe, particularly from the Middle East, the largest one being Syrians. Then you have Afghans and Iraqis. Because for several reasons, lack of confidence in peace and giving up in the neighboring areas as we didn't provide reasonable funding for health, education, food in the region.
Paul, there's also a big refugee crisis in parts of Africa with the Boko Haram insurgency.
That's right. And in the Lake Chad Basin, and the region around Nigeria, we've also had a significant increase. We have very many people now displaced in that region, and the numbers has been going up with an additional 730,000 people displaced within Nigeria last year. In Africa, we've also had a refugee exodus from Burundi with the recent fighting there.
The NRC believes finding political solutions to the world's conflicts may be a key to resolving this matter?
Well, we don't have an option. It has not moved very much forward in the last year. We have had, you know, the start of the Syria negotiations, but major breakthroughs have not yet been reached. And we also have some very long protracted conflicts that have been going on and on and on. The largest one, of course, being the Palestinian ones, where we still are short of durable solutions when it comes to either return or integration in the countries where the Palestinian refugees are in the region. But we also have other long-lasting conflicts like Congo, like Afghanistan, like Sudan.
The NRC's Secretary General, Jan Egeland, said people forced to flee in the worst refugee crisis since World War II are in need of rights protection. He said when European countries with few refugees close their borders, it is harder to get those hosting large refugee populations like Turkey, Lebanon, and Jordan to keep their borders open to tens of thousands of Syrians. Coming up on International Edition, an amazing game on the court and a big win for a city. And a new song from a multi-talented gal. The Cleveland Cavaliers ended decades of sports heartbreak in the city by beating the Golden State Warriors 93-89 in the deciding seventh game of the National Basketball Association Finals. Senior sports editor Sonny Young joins us, and Andrew Palchevsky is still with us here, too, at the anchor desk. And they're going to give us all the lowdown. Hi, Sonny.
Hello, Susan, and sporty greetings to all our Voice of America
and
listeners.
And Andrew. What an exciting game. When I came into work this morning, I overheard people saying, LeBron James, LeBron James, LeBron James. It was like a chant here in the office. I don't know, what did LeBron James do? Because I sleep at night, unlike you guys.
Yeah, LeBron already regarded as one of the great players in NBA history. And I think he solidified his status with his performance on Sunday night. 27 points, 11 rebounds, and 11 assists. That's called a triple-double for basketball geeks, double figures in three different statistical categories. But LeBron also, he basically, prior to the NBA Finals. He has promised that he would bring a championship to the city of Cleveland. Let's hear what he had to say about that.
I came back for a reason. I came back to bring a championship to our city. I knew what I was capable of doing. I knew what I learned in the last couple of years that I was gone. And when I came back, I knew I had the right ingredients and the right blueprint to help this franchise get back to a place that we've never been. And right now, it's just excitement. You know, it's not even relief. It's just excitement for us as a team, as a franchise, as a city, as a community, to be able to continue to build up our city, continue to be an inspiration to our city. It means everything, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
Happy to be a part of the city of Cleveland's first major professional sports championship in 52 years.
It's amazing. Andrew, what do you think?
Well, we're seeing so many great scenes on social media. The game seven was in Oakland, California, where Golden State plays. So it wasn't in Cleveland, but from the looks of some of these videos on social media, you wouldn't know that. There was one video that's making the rounds where this guy pans across. He's looking down from a balcony, and the entire street below him is just filled with Cleveland Cavalier fans, just so excited. I mean, excitement, as LeBron said, that is really the right word. The city is just this kind of, even though we're, you know, miles and miles away from Cleveland, you can feel this kind of palpable excitement from the social media, and you can really sense that. And I think that as we go forward into Wednesday, when they do this parade through the city, it's only going to grow, and Wednesday is going to be a culmination of that. We're going to see a lot of social media on Wednesday.
Well, this is not just a game for people who are watching and listening. This is a big win for the city of Cleveland, the people who live there, beyond sports.
Yeah, I would agree. More than half a century of frustration and heartbreak in that city. They've come close, but from a sports perspective, the last major title that they won at a professional level, the Cleveland Browns, Jim Brown, the great star player, was a member of that team. Way back in 1964, they won the National Football League title. So this is really the first major championship, so lots to celebrate. LeBron has said it's going to be the biggest party that Cleveland has ever seen.
Okay, well, thanks, fellas. Appreciate it. This is VOA.
Do you lead a busy life? Not always able to catch your favorite VOA radio or TV program? If you are keen to stay in touch with world news and events, give VOA podcasts a try.
VOANews.com.
Visit our website at VOANews.com to learn how you can become a subscriber to VOA podcasts and keep your life up to date.
VOA News, your trusted source for news and information.
I'm Millar Sega, host of VOA's The Correspondents, a weekly roundup of the top stories with analysis from our dedicated reporters around the globe.
Among the stars expressing support, Frida Pinto.
This is a problem that inflicts almost every country.
Think of it as a conversation on the biggest issues of the day. Wherever the news may be, our correspondents are there. Listen to The Correspondents, Saturdays and Sundays on VOA.
Selena Gomez has a new song out. She's that pop singer and actress and multi-talented person. And to talk about everything is Larry London of Border Crossings. He's right here in the studio with me right now.
Here we are. Here we go. Thank you, Susan. Yes, Selena Gomez, who is very, very popular, very beautiful, was just signed to be the new celebrity face of Louis Vuitton and has been the face or the hair of Pantene shampoo. And now she's out on tour for her latest album called Revival. And Selena got her start when she was just a little toddler on a very popular TV show, one of your favorites, called Barney and Friends.
Yes, I do like Barney. He's the big purple dinosaur that dances around.
The big purple dinosaur. She was one of the little kids who was on one of the early casts, and she since has grown up and became a Disney star on a show called Wizards of Waverly Place. And then she was in a number of different films, Camp Rock, Spring Breakers. She's done quite a few films. And these days, she's known for her pop music. And also, she's known as the ex-girlfriend of Justin Bieber. There's been a lot of talk about, are they together? Aren't they together? They break up. Then they post photos of each other on their Instagram accounts. So everybody's kind of left wondering. They keep us guessing, wanting more. I guess it's part of the game. But right now, she's got a new song out from her Revival album. And I like the song. Kill 'Em With Kindness is the name of the new song.
Well, just tune in.
The world can be a nasty place. You know it, I know it, yeah.
don't have to fall from grace. Put down the weapons you fight with and kill them with kindness. Kill them with kindness. Kill them.
Well, tell me more about the album. What else is on there?
Well, you know, she's had Same Old Love and Hands to Myself. These have been big hits from that album so far. She was with a band known as The Scene. This is her first project without her band, The Scene. But she's great. I mean, they love her. The young people love her. She has a great relationship with her fans. She recently got bangs, changed her hairstyle. She added golden highlights to her hair. And there was a while that she was being criticized for her weight, which was never really a problem. And she's one of these people saying, this is me, I love me, you should love me. She did disappear about a year ago for a while. She was supposed to go out on tour, and then we heard she was in rehab. But the facts came out later. She was diagnosed with lupus.
Oh, my.
And she was undergoing chemotherapy treatment for lupus. Unfortunately, there is no cure for that disease. But she's now become a spokesperson for the disease, for the Lupus Foundation, and she's donating proceeds from her ticket sales for her tour to the Lupus Foundation. So she's very much speaking out about lupus and its effect on people.
And but, she's in remission, I take it.
She's in remission. It was a very tough time for her, but she's okay now, and she's looking great, sounding great, and people are showing up to see her perform on the Revival Tour, which has been on break for the last couple of weeks, but she's ready to begin the next leg, and it's a world tour, so she's traveling around the world.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Larry, for stopping by.
And thank you, Susan, for having me on your segment, and it's been a pleasure working with you. Happy retirement to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I don't know if our listeners know, but yes, thank you very much. It's been fun working with you, Larry.
Nice working with you, too.
Thanks for joining us today for International Edition.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
June 20th is World Refugee Day, a time to acknowledge the resilience, courage, and perseverance of the millions of people driven from their homes. According to the 1951 Convention on the Status of Refugees, a refugee is someone who, owing to a well-founded fear of being persecuted for reasons of race, religion, nationality, membership of a particular social group or political opinion, is outside the country of his nationality and is unable to, or owing to such fear, is unwilling to avail himself of the protection of that country. Today, according to UNHCR estimates, more than 20 million people around the world meet that definition. Many of them flee their homeland to escape violent conflicts or belligerent extremists. Some are escaping human rights violations perpetrated by government entities or private militias. Most often, people are running because their hometowns have been turned into battlefields, and staying means nearly certain death. They run from Syria, where the government is killing its civilian population with bombs, bullets, and poison gas, from Libya, where civilians are caught in conflict, from Afghanistan, where Taliban extremists are waging a war against the elected government by setting off bombs in markets and sending suicide bombers into populated areas, from Sudan, South Sudan, Somalia, Mali, Burma, and many other places. These refugees share important characteristics. They all have been displaced from homes, families, and communities. They all have experienced loss and face uncertain futures. And they all look to the rest of the world, to us, for support, for hope. This is a global crisis that is affecting more men, women, and children than ever before, and for protracted periods of time. In a time when so many refugees are fleeing violence and persecution, and nations around the world are struggling to cope with this massive influx of vulnerable people, it is time to remember that, in the words of UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, refugees are people like anyone else, like you and me. They led ordinary lives before becoming displaced, and their biggest dream is to be able to live normally again. On this World Refugee Day, let us recall our common humanity, celebrate tolerance and diversity, and open our hearts to refugees everywhere.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.